before we look at today's readings, which focus generally on what is old, I want to recall just for a moment what we celebrated yesterday, Feast of St. Matthew, because that was a celebration of something new. Matthew was in his old life collecting taxes, and then Jesus called him and he started a whole new life. The reason why this comes to mind is because yesterday I came across a commentary on Matthew, and it referred to the opinion of some of the fathers of the church why he has two names, Levi and Matthew. I mentioned this in yesterday's gospel and yesterday's homily, but I really didn't understand it. According to the fathers, his name was Levi the tax collector. But when he experienced his conversion, he changed his name to Matthew, or his name was changed to Matthew, and that's how he was known from then on, as an apostle and as an evangelist, he's Matthew. And that's why the other gospels, when they talk about the call of the tax collector, they refer to him as Levi, because they're talking about his old life, they're talking about a tax collector. And when they put him in the list of the apostles, they call him Matthew, because that's his new identity. Whereas Matthew himself, he never calls himself Levi, he calls himself Matthew the tax collector, as if to use that as an opportunity to proclaim the mercy of God. So speaking about himself, he can talk about himself as a tax collector. But the beautiful thing was, in this commentary, the other apostles, the other evangelists, they don't call him, they don't call, as an apostle, they don't call him Levi, because he left his sin behind. And it's not respectful of a person's conversion to keep bringing up their past. The Lord himself removes our sin from us and does not bring it to mind. And so that's how we should treat one another. When people leave sin behind, let them leave it behind. I thought it was a beautiful thing. Anyway, it comes to mind in relation to today's readings, after celebrating the transition from old to new, today we go back to what is old. We begin the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, which starts out with a very pessimistic view of reality, basically that everything is empty, everything is vanity, doesn't do us any good to work because we're going to lose it all anyway, and nothing changes anyway. The rivers all go to the sea and the sea is never full. That perspective of this opening reading is quite pessimistic. There is nothing new under the sun. Even something that you think is new already existed, and it's only new to your experience, but it's not really new. So see how pessimistic that is. Now, of course, there's something to what he's saying here. If you limit your perspective to this world and physical realities, sure, there really isn't anything new. But that perspective is too limited, and that's why it's pessimistic. What struck me about this is the way old people talk. Children don't talk like this. Young people, people who have zest for life, whose eyes are open to wonder and to newness and to a new experience, they don't talk like this. Because if you see a six-year-old looking at a rainbow, you say, oh, that child is just amazed at the rainbow. Whereas the old person who's seen rainbows a lots of times says, yeah, I've seen them before, they're all the same. Well, they're not really all the same, but that's how an old person talks. Which is why it's very important to be around young people, or it's important to be refreshed with the perspective of young people, because otherwise we can get old and pessimistic. One of the problems of modern times is that people don't have children, or they're not with their children, and they don't have grandchildren, they don't see their grandchildren, so they're left with their oldness all the time, and they don't see any purpose anymore. During the lockdowns, there was a big increase in depression, despair, suicide, because people didn't have any hope. There was nothing new, there was nothing changing. Everyone was stuck That's kind of like what Koheleth is saying in this reading. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, the only way you can say there's nothing new under the sun is if you're only looking at things under the sun. If you have no transcendent perspective. Because as soon as we have something transcendent, like love, like goodness, like heaven, like God, like beauty, like truth, well, then we can't say there's nothing new. Because in God, all is new. Well, when God enters into time, it's new. And this is what Pope Francis mentioned in the document we were studying last week in the liturgical formation. He said the only really new thing is Jesus Christ, the incarnation, and his sacrifice. So when we come to the Last Supper, we're not experiencing something old. We're not just going through the Passover meal. It's not just another lamb, another sacrifice for another worthless ritual. It's actually something new, because Jesus is the new lamb, the true lamb, and his sacrifice actually makes a difference in the world. It's not just a river going into the sea. It's a whole new water, a new fountain of life. That's Christianity. So when we get to the Last Supper and to the cross and to the Eucharist, we're encountering something new, and that's our faith. That's why no Christian can ultimately be pessimistic. Christians can recognize the decline of earthly realities, and we should, because they are passing. We can accept what Koheleth says here about earthly things. Under the sun, there's limited value to what we have. It's good as far as it goes, but you have to leave it behind anyway. But once God enters into the picture in Jesus Christ, you can't say there's no hope, there's nothing changing. He is always offering us new life. Now, this idea of old and new, I think, can enlighten the difficulty that King Herod is having in today's gospel. This is Herod the Tetrarch, Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. He is the one who had John the Baptist executed, beheaded in prison. You know that story. And he starts hearing about Jesus and what people are saying about Jesus. And everything that is being said about him is that something old has come again. It's John again. That's Herod's fear. Oh, it's John again. I killed him and now he's come back to haunt me. It's Elijah coming again. It's one of the great prophets of old coming again. That's the old perspective. Well, something that happened before is happening again. You see why that's troubling? Because it didn't do us any good before, and now it's happening again. Especially in Herod's case, he eliminated John. He didn't want John around. Well, he was curious about him, and he was interested in what he had to say, but he wasn't really open to the newness that John was bringing. Herod wasn't open to conversion, to repentance. He just wanted his ears tickled with an interesting prophet. So, and then he got rid of him because his partner, Herodias, hated John. What is behind this is a principle that you might have heard. There's a Latin expression for it, but I can't think of it. It goes something like this. What is received is received according to the capacity of the receiver. You know that philosophical principle. What is received can only be received according to the capacity of the receiver. So if we don't have a capacity for something new, we won't get anything new. The reason I bring this up is because it's not that God is not doing anything new, it's that we can limit our own capacity. So, I'll just explain this principle. You think of a teacher speaking to, say, 30 students. Okay, she's teaching a new topic. The very bright students are bored because as soon as she starts talking, they already know what she's talking about. It's not new to them. The very poor students are bored because they're not paying any attention anyway. And even if they try to pay attention, they probably wouldn't get it. So there's no capacity to receive. Only the students for whom there's an openness to receive something new actually benefit, actually receive what is being given. Now the teacher's saying the exact same thing to every single student, but they don't all receive it in the same way. When I'm preaching, I sometimes am aware that people are not that, my accent and also just speaking English is not the easiest thing for people to receive. If people don't understand English or they don't understand my accent, they can't receive it. It doesn't mean I'm not saying something worthwhile, but I can see when people are not getting anything. We only receive what we have capacity to receive. What is received is received according to the capacity of the receiver. Now, Koheleth in the first reading, he only sees vanity of vanities. He doesn't see anything new. Because he's only looking at what happens under the sun. He's only looking at earthly realities. So something new comes along, he won't even see it because it's in a different language. He can't understand it. Herod is the same way. He can't understand the new thing that God is doing because he doesn't have a capacity to receive. He's closed. This was clear in the case of John the Baptist. He wasn't really open to receiving what John had to say. Even though he heard him, even though it was intriguing to him, he didn't really receive it in a deep way. So when Jesus comes along and John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, Herod wasn't prepared. He didn't have the capacity to receive this new thing. And so he thinks, who is this? If he really wanted to know, he could have found out. I love this line at the end. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. No, he didn't. He didn't try to see him. If you want to see someone who tries to see Jesus, look at Zacchaeus. Remember the tax collector? He wanted to see Jesus and he climbed up a tree to see him. Herod doesn't climb up any trees. Herod doesn't make any effort to go and meet Jesus. So it says he kept trying to see him. Not really. He was just curious. His capacity to receive was very small, so he received very little. Going back to Matthew, yesterday's feast day, no one except Jesus recognized Matthew's capacity to receive. Everyone had him labeled as a sinner, someone you shouldn't associate with. Jesus said, "Follow me," and Matthew had the capacity to receive the call and the new life. Well, Jesus has new life for all of us. A new song, new water, a new experience of God's life. This is true every day. Every day is a new day in God. Even if we do the exact same things, we relate to the same people, we have the same routines, we wear the same clothes, we eat the same foods, that part, sure, it won't change. Koheleth is right about that. But our relationship with God is not old. It's not a dusty book on the shelf. It's a living reality, and that's what's new. So let us expand our capacity. Let us open ourselves to the newness of God's gift so that he can fill us with his new life.